here as we kick off hour number two of Free Talk Live. You may dial in toll free and bring up whatever you like. 800-259-9231. That number brought to you by SACL CAI. It's 1-800-259-9231. And joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features on the site for free. So enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. We're going to get right back into your calls here in just a moment. But I had an extra thought that popped up here, and I felt like I was just blathering thoughts, and I don't know if, how coherent I was being toward the end of that last segment, because I understand where the anti-voting people are coming from. Like, I get it, okay? But what doesn't make sense is what they want. They want to convince everyone to stop voting, to convince everyone to believe that the state is not legitimate, because they believe it's voting that leads people to, believing that the state is legitimate, that it's an important factor in that. And so what is the realistic goal? Or what is I think it's an unrealistic goal of them to have, that they're going to convince people to stop voting.
All of them. I mean, like, you can convert a few people, but what's really the point when when local elections are decided by as few as in some case
3%.
Yeah, right. 3%, 5%, some big local elections, 10%.
Guess who most of those voters are?
People that work for the government.
Now, how
are you going to convince them?
Right. How in the world are you going to get... Look, you can't even convince us to not vote, right? I mean, we heard all the arguments. We have talked about this issue over the years. We get it. We know exactly, where you're coming from. We understand. And you can't convince us. So you think you're going to be able to convince other people to stop voting? And again, the numbers show that most people don't vote. But that hasn't affected their feelings toward what government is and whether it should be around or not and whether they're going to obey it or not. Look, if you can get enough people to stop obeying the government, then it's over for them.
Right. It doesn't really matter whether they vote or not.
Right. Well, then at that point, they're voting in a real significant manner by not going along with the program anymore, by not getting the permit to run the business, by not asking government's permission to do X, Y, or Z, not begging anymore in order to live their lives as free people. If you could convince maybe 5% of the people that are aggressed against by government to just take things to trial, you'll crush the court systems. So that kind of a perspective, looking at activism from a non-cooperation, from encouraging non-cooperation and encouraging people to see the state as a gang of thugs and treat them, with that same level of reverence, then you might have a little bit more success. But the idea that you're going to stop people from voting by somehow converting the people who benefit directly from voting, they just don't have that incentive, and they never will.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's going to work to me.
You can count on every time on the government people to come out and vote themselves right back into office. And
actually, you can't. There have been times when even the government people don't come out to their own elections, and there have been zero votes, and the government still continues to go on. They appoint people, they just continue to go on.
That does happen occasionally, Mark, but for the most part, you can count on the government people to come out and vote for themselves.
You can certainly, they're far more likely to come out than the average citizen who's trying to get by, who's trying to work and do all these other things. So the whole don't vote, it only encourages them thing.
No, it doesn't.
Need your encouragement, dude. They don't give a flying flip at a rolling donut about your encouragement.
They don't care whether you show up and vote or not.
They don't want you to vote. The government doesn't want you to vote.
They've actually tried to stop me, actively attempted to prevent me from voting. But they don't care if you show up or not in many cases, because their system's going to keep rolling on as long as everybody keeps playing along. That's what they care about. They care about how if they are obeyed. And as soon as people stop obeying them, they get very upset. That's what will stop them, in my opinion. I think voting can be useful. I think we pointed out why. Anyway, we'll continue here with your thoughts. And we go to David listening in New Hampshire. David, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello there.
I'm calling in. My vote is to vote. Because I think, I don't know, for me it's just like, do I have a preference? Either or. Do I have a preference? And I always have a preference.
Sometimes I don't. Now, sometimes it's, doesn't matter to me who wins. Like, now that Andrew Carroll, the local activist that was running, has been eliminated, I don't know if I care about going, turning out.
Yeah.
I don't know
if one thing, if you can get, like, someone someone good in that can will allow somebody to sell hot dogs or something, won't aggress against people who sell hot dogs.
Absolutely.
At one of those council seats or something and changes that rule, that would be, you know, that's a good thing.
I absolutely agree. It is a good thing. If you can get the right, you know, again, I don't believe that the government's going to disappear by electing the right people overnight or anything like that, but I think that having better people in there than not is a good thing, and I think there's been evidence from to that here in New Hampshire with the Free State Project, with liberty activists being elected across the state. There are four of them, four Free Staters that have been elected. Other people that are of a liberty mindset have also been elected that are New Hampshire natives and such, and there's no doubt that New Hampshire is a more free place than a lot of the other places in this country.
Rated the number one free state in the Union by the Mercatus Center.
It doesn't mean that there aren't little tyrants around here everywhere. It doesn't mean that we don't have absurd rules and bureaucrats to order us around. That's all the case, but it's not as bad here as it is in other places. And it's because
so come on up, everybody.
Indeed. Indeed. David has invited you. Now you can come. Anything else on your mind?
No, that's all.
Thanks for the call, dude.
Thanks
I appreciate
a lot.
It. Yes, sir. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. I mean, really, the anti-voting crowd is really quite utopian, aren't they? I mean, the idea that they'd be able to somehow get everybody to stop participating in this system. The system sucks, but sometimes it gives you minor opportunities to adjust the suckiness factor. And if you can adjust that suckiness factor down a bit, I say do it.
Well, you know, the Where's other option is if you believe that the government has to become so onerous and despicable that that it finally people rise up against it or somehow, you know, go around it or something like that, then I suppose that makes sense. Then you should do is you should go and vote for the worst candidate out there that you can find. And
we haven't heard that perspective tonight. I don't know
how many
people think that.
They're out there.
They are
out there. And you know, if that's the case, my recommendation, pick up, move to Detroit.
There you go, yeah. I mean, how's that going?
Cleveland?
I mean, how's that going there? Are the government people being overthrown in Detroit?
No. Nope. Mm.
In Nazi Germany? No, that didn't really work there.
It took some more aggression to knock them off. Yeah. I think they would have at some point collapsed of their own weight, but it would have taken a heck of a lot longer.
But if people hadn't gone along with the program, and as we pointed out the other night, the Jews hadn't just waltzed right into the cities and registered, that would have made things a lot more difficult. Mm.
The other thing you can point out is that the Nazis were elected by a popular vote, and not all the people voted.
You know what? It's not true that Hitler was democratically elected. I didn't realize that.
He was appointed by a democratically elected government.
Correct. Correct. Just I didn't realize that. I've been saying that he was democratically elected, and I was called out on that.
I thought he was democratically elected by that his party was democratically elected in sort of and appointed through that party situation.
No,
and his party was one of several, and he got 30-something% of the vote.
He did
so
very well.
He wasn't voted by a majority, but he won through the electoral process.
He didn't win any seats, but President Hindenburg did appoint him to some special seat after Hindenburg was. So he ran against Hindenburg, and then I believe he got appointed by him.
Well,
so.
Somebody will give me their history lesson this evening. You can believe that.
Yeah, 1-800-259-9231. Continuing with your thoughts, Dylan is on the line of Wisconsin on the AMP lines. Hello, Dylan.
Hey, I wanted to talk about voting, but I don't really want to anymore. You guys pretty much cleared it up. I mean, like, with Darren on, and he was saying to stop because it gives legitimacy. I understand where he's coming from, but they don't care. Like you said, they don't care that you're voting. That's why they're not coming to tell you to vote. They're coming instead to Mike Barsky, who's just selling burgers on the side of the road. You know, like you're saying, do the disobedience. That's what makes the difference.
Absolutely. Voting is a cop-out form of activism. It's I'm a do-nothing activist, basically. Well, I'm not saying that Darren doesn't do anything else. Maybe he does a whole bunch of other things. But
itself, it's nothing.
Yeah, to say that it's some sort of critical move is ludicrous.
Right. The other thing I wanted to say is that the only way that I would ever vote, and I'm 18, almost 19 now only, but I haven't voted yet. Just because I don't have anybody I feel like that is worth my vote. Nobody that's going to, put in liberty policy.
Absolutely, yeah. You got to excite me to get me out to cast a ballot. And most candidates just aren't that way. But we're seeing more of them pop up here in New Hampshire. And I thank you for the call tonight. Appreciate it. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
A congressman recently revealed that legislation totaling 2,900 pages and involving more than $1 trillion was available to members of Congress for less than 48 hours to study and consider. That's over 60 pages of legislation per hour. Do you think anyone read the entire bill? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizedDC.org. Consider a proposal buried in a 3,200-page, $388 billion bill, which would have empowered committee chairmen or their agents to examine Americans' tax returns. When this horrible provision came to light, no one claimed to know how it got into the bill. One congressman questioned said, I didn't write it, I didn't approve it, I wasn't even consulted. If your attorney represented you this way, he might be disbarred. But this is how Congress represents you every day. That's why DownsizedDC.org has created the Read the Bills Act. You can force Congress to read their bills before they pass them at DownsizedDC.org.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
Are you fed up with government of, by, and for the banksters and gangsters? Are you ready for a patriotic newspaper that pulls no punches, that tells it the way it is about the forces that have taken over and are destroying the United States from within? The Nationalist Times has been informing and educating Americans every month since 1985. The Nationalist Times features outstanding writers and columnists who promote a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning cultural Marxist Party line. If you believe it's far past time to get America back on track, you need to be reading America's best political publication. Find out why the Nationalist Times has many thousands of loyal readers. Subscribe to the Nationalist Times for the special introductory rate of just $29 for 1 year. Subscribe today by sending $29 to the Nationalist Times, 10161 Park Run Drive, Suite 150, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89145. That's $29 for 1 year to the Nationalist Times, 10161 Park Run Drive, Suite 150, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89145.
Never clean or maintain your old-fashioned gutters again. Now there's Rain Handler. How'd you like to never have to climb a shaky ladder to dig out leaves from your gutters ever again? You need Rain Handler, the patented modern gutter that eliminates gutter cleaning forever. Rain Handler converts the runoff from your roof to gentle raindrops and spreads them away from your home, eliminating ground erosion. Rain Handler is made of self-cleaning aluminum louvers that allow leaves and debris to blow away. And Rain Handler cannot cause ice dams. Each Rain Handler section is guaranteed against winter damage and comes with a 25-year warranty and a full 1-year money-back satisfaction guarantee. Go to GetRainHandler.com to see this amazing system in action, or call 800-942-3004. All radio listeners receive a 10% discount at GetRainHandler.com. That's GetRainHandler.com. Call 800-942-3004 or visit GetRainHandler.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. Bring up anything, toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. 1-800-259-9231. You can take control of the airwaves. You can also enjoy our website. You'll find a lot of features there, including the Shrine of Female Listeners. Dozens of ladies who've taken the time to send in their validated photo or video showing they are indeed listeners of this program. Head on over to shrine.freetalklive.com to see it. And if you're a lady listener, you can get involved. The details are there. Shrine.freetalklive.com.
And SACL CAI, major sponsor of the show, Jason Osborne is the principal over there. If you if you need anything done, whether it's collections or some kind of political campaigning or anything that where you know, automated calls would be something that would work for you, try SACL CAI. They are a you can see their banner at freetalklive.com. It is the top one on the right-hand side of the page. They're a big sponsor of the show. Support businesses that do business with Free Talk Live.
All right, toll-free number, 800-259-9231. We continue here. You can bring up anything. McFall is on the line in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, McFall.
Hello from another principled non-voter from Pennsylvania.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Well,
can you be a principled voter?
No.
Oh, really?
Well, here's my thing. I come from a different direction than Darren. I see voting as like sort of obfuscated violence, and we can all agree that violence is undesirable, but not necessarily immoral. Like if you see somebody about to rape a kid and you clock them upside the head and make them stop, you know, we can agree that that's all right.
Okay.
So I don't say that it's wrong to vote. I just haven't seen any reason why I should to this point, at least not since I got involved in the Liberty Movement.
We have conceded that point, that if you live in Pennsylvania or many of the other states around the Union or many of the other places around the world, that your vote is likely wasted. And
yeah,
that
I can't say any
that
of
your gasoline isn't worth it and the time that you spend away from your family is not worth it. So I'll concede that point to you, that the voting is a statistically insignificant act. However, if you'll concede to me that it can matter some of the time, and that it's more likely to matter where more people are collected that believe the same and similar things that you do.
I so concede, and that is why I'm a Free State Project member.
Excellent.
Very good, sir. So what else was on your mind tonight?
Okay. A few times over the past week, we discussed the issue of whether property that is owned illegitimately can be transferred to another person, and then, like, say, if my watch was stolen, and then somebody who sold it to you, if I could take the watch from you. Now, ultimately, I'm going to agree with you that it would be wrong to use force against the recipient of stolen property, but for a different reason. And I wanted to take issue with, Mark, your position that we really, you know, by that standard, we really can't justify any property at all, because all property at some point has been stolen.
Okay.
And the reason I take issue with that is because there's kind of, in property theory as developed by John Locke and Murray Rothbard and people like that, there is a statute of limitations on, you know, challenging a title. And that would be that since property can only be willed to somebody who is alive at the time of the, or, you know, at the same time of the person who wills it, because the property transfers at the time of his death, that after, you know, whoever was alive at the time of the infraction dies, after they're all dead, you can't really challenge the chain of custody anymore.
So hold on, who has to be alive? The person to whom the property would have been heired, or the person who would have heired it?
There is a one generation statute of limitations.
So now, the person to whom it would have been heired.
Right.
Okay. So no, let me take some examples here, if I could. Let's say you're talking about the people in the area called Palestine. It wasn't actually a country, but I guess that was in the 40s. So certainly there are heirs to that land that exist now. But Jerusalem has gotten, Israel itself, hugely built up since it has been given over to the Jews, and I'd say illegitimately, I guess the people of Israel, because they're not all Jews. So let's say that, you know, the person who had the land beneath the giant shopping mall, you know, the guy who used to feed, whose camels used to graze on the land that is now beneath this huge edifice worth millions and millions of dollars, should that land be returned to him? And what should happen to the edifice upon it?
No, it shouldn't, and now I'm going to explain why.
Okay.
I agree with you ultimately. Walter Block, who I believe you've had on your program before,
mm-hmm.
has a theory called negative homesteading, and he defends it much better than I do. But his idea is that, just as the first appropriator of natural resources becomes the rightful owner, the, so to speak, first appropriator of hardship cannot transfer that to another person. And if you need proof of that, let's imagine that somebody steals my watch and is running off with it, and I pull out a gun and try to shoot his legs out so I can go back and get it. And a little girl walks across the street, and I shoot her in the shoulder. Do I or do I not owe that little girl
compensation? Yeah, sure.
So, even though it's my watch, my actions cannot harm somebody who did not harm me. And if the principle applies in that one situation, then somebody would have a pretty heavy burden of proof in proving to me why it doesn't apply in other situations.
Like the guy with the building who built the building up, you going in and just tearing it down, saying, this was my grandfather's property, that kind of thing.
Or the person who received the watch from the thief, or, you know, purchased it. As you guys pointed out, you've both been wronged by the thief, and the responsibility is on the thief.
So I want to hear how you disagree, because you say you've gotten there some other different manner, and so do you disagree or not disagree? I'm not exactly certain. Somebody can have a wrong answer, can have the right answer, but have gotten to it through the wrong path. And I'm trying to decide whether or not you're saying we've gotten there through the wrong path or exactly what you're saying.
Well, the point is that you can still challenge legitimate property claims, but only for a certain period of time. I mean, if the thief steals the property, then, say, heirs it to his sons, then, you know, you have that one generational gap. But that's, you know, that's sort of different than transferring the property to a totally unrelated third party, because the willing of property is a different type of transaction than a sale to a completely uninvolved third party.
Okay, so let me get this let me get it straight what you're saying, because I think I agree with at least the results of what you're talking about here. If a third party comes along and buys or improves something, with all good intent, with having done their due diligence or whatever, they believe they're doing the right thing, and then they can't be gone after. And secondly, if you're talking about the heirs, or I guess second heirs of somebody who actually did steal something, then they're the same as a third party.
Right. They would be protected by the statute of limitations. Now, of course, you know, this is all metaphysical, you know, going into the idea of natural rights and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's something that could work. It's something where an arbitration group could say, we will only recognize challenges to property titles that, that have occurred within one generation. It would work.
Okay.
I think that makes sense to me. Appreciate the call and the explanation, and thank you for dialing in tonight. 800-259-9231, that's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can take control of the airwaves. So if Grandma's watch is gifted to the thief's son, it's still claimable. But if the thief's son ends up, you know, growing up and gifting it to his kids, then it's not been too long at that point. It makes sense. More coming up. You take control. This is Free Talk Live.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives, and that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you want to breathe better, please write this down now. BreatheBetterAir.com. You don't have time to waste. Go to BreatheBetterAir.com and see the stylish Air Oasis 3000 Air Purifier. It has no filters, no messy plates to clean, requires no maintenance for 3 years, is built by hand in the U.S., and comes with a 3-year warranty. GCN listeners get a $100 discount and free air quality test kit at BreatheBetterAir.com or call 806-477-0322 to breathe better air now.
Great news for pure water lovers. The Big Berkey Water Filter is available once again. And stay tuned to hear about a valuable offer from Berkey Water Filters. Choosing the right water purification system can be a daunting task. That's why BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com shows you a cost and benefit comparison. The Berkey Water Filter is economical, with a single set of filters that can last for 5 to 10 years. Berkey Water Filters are healthy and far superior to other filtration systems. They remove harmful pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy chemicals like chlorine. And Berkey water filter systems are powerful enough to purify both treated and untreated water, like stagnant ponds. Get the gold standard in water filters at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. For a limited time, choose a free shower filter, fluoride filters, or two Sport Berkey bottles with every system purchase. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Details at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Less is more. I want you to think of Life Change T as, well, a 2008 Ferrari 612. The Ferrari 612 is a two-door, four-passenger luxury car that gives an exploding 540 horsepower through its 6-liter V12. It has a top speed of 199 miles per hour and can accelerate 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds. Life Change T will accelerate your life into feeling more energy, losing weight, and cleansing toxins out of your body so you'll live longer. And guess what? You can accelerate your life without a Ferrari 612 sticker price of $318,000. You can buy green tea for less, but unfortunately, it's just another daily driver with no performance. So for just about a dollar a day, you can drive the Ferrari of teas. Don't be fooled by size. Check our website out at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Remember...
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Dial in via the toll-free number. It's 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. 800-259-9231. You can join us on our website. You'll find that the features there are free. We've got archives with a whole bunch of them there. In fact, going back to late 2006... You just go to freetalklive.com. You'll see the last week's worth of the show there at the top of the page. And then if you click into the archive section, you will find back to late 06 all for free and courtesy of HostGator. So you can go to hostgator.freetalklive.com and you can get yourself a free month of hosting for, you know, on the house just for going through our link, hostgator.freetalklive.com. HostGator is your source for, you know, domain name registrations, hosting, and all that kind of stuff. You need that. HostGator's got it, and they are one of the top hosts from across the world. So HostGator.freetalklive.com is, again, the place to go. You'll get your first month absolutely free. All right, so we'll continue here. You know, Mark, I was thinking a little bit further on this stolen property thing, and maybe I didn't quite understand as much as I thought I'd understood what McFaul was talking about there in Pennsylvania. So let me make sure that we're still on the same page that with this whole generational approach thing. The idea being that if somebody bequeaths something that they stole to one of their offspring or somebody else that's directly beneath them without selling it to a third party that is completely uninterested,
in the situation that somehow the original person who owned that item could still claim it back?
From the person to whom it had been bequeathed? That was my understanding.
It sounded right at first, but now I'm not thinking.
It's an arbitrary period of time, and I think that the reality of it is at some point or another, it just becomes, very difficult, ludicrous to decide who gets what. And, you know, now you're talking about the works of art that were stolen by the Nazis during World War II. You know, you're still talking about the first generation of people having these things at this point. So can... something that's been in your family. I mean, if you don't know where Dad got this thing from,
right.
It's been in your family for
you.
Yeah, it's been in your family for a very long time. I can see both sides of that particular instance because it's not like you went out and paid $800 million for this Picasso. In fact, it was a situation where it was given to you by Dad who, funny thing, he was an officer in the SS. I wonder where he got it from. Yeah, I can see that. I'm getting a little shifty on it. What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like if the person who's receiving the stolen property, whether they're paying for it or not, doesn't know that it's stolen, then they're not complicit in any way and shouldn't be responsible for returning it.
Well,
it just doesn't seem right.
If they're getting it as a gift from somebody who did steal it, then it's not like they are losing anything.
Well, true, it doesn't have the same value to them, but they might really like it. It might be
sure,
really
they might really
much.
Like it. So did the thief, right?
Yeah.
That's why he took it.
Sure, sure. But it would seem that there would still be some sort of... I mean, for instance, if they had taken a liking to it, and maybe the investigation doesn't come to them until a year down the road or something like that. So I think maybe a timetable might be a factor as well. Like, you know, how long is it before you come to this person and say, hey, that was my grandmother's watch. Now you've got to give it back to me. Well, wait, I got this from my dad as a gift. And, you know, he gave it to me, and it means a lot. You're saying it was stolen? Yes, it was stolen. It was my grandmother's watch. Well, I'm sorry, but I've been enjoying this watch for the last year, and I really like it. I like the way it ticks, and it's shiny.
Your dad's a stinking thief.
Right.
Give me my watch. I don't know. I don't know. I think it's tough. And if it's a year later, how much real attachment do you have to it at that point? You know, it's not like it's been in your family for generations. I mean, your dad could tell you that though.
You know, sure.
I thought that this has been in my family since my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather came over from Ireland.
He told me it was Grandma's watch. You didn't tell me it wasn't my grandma. So I think it's tough, right? It's not an easy issue. And one thing we can be sure of is that the experts will figure this out, right? The people that are tasked with arbitrating these matters will come up with some level of standard that is acceptable to people in general, based on what the marketplace is wanting. And it seems to me that if you've been given something that is stolen, it's obviously not as bad as if you've been, you know, paid money for that stolen thing as far as, you know, how you're going to feel if someone tries to reclaim it. But still, you may still I still agree that it's the thief that's fully responsible for everything. The thief should be fully compensating the individual who had the article stolen from them, and the thief is responsible for making that sale. So if the person who was gifted the item still doesn't want to give it back, then that just means that the thief will have to compensate even greater the person who was stolen from. Am I making sense at all?
I do, but how are you going to compensate? How are you going to compensate if you give it to your son? How is the father going to compensate the son for the lost watch?
Cold hard cash.
Yeah, I think the son actually just the fact that it was found out that his father stole the watch is probably that's going to be punishment enough for dad. You
right.
Imagine how mortifying that would be.
Sure, sure. No, I understand. The punishment for I think the thief should be punished. I'm just talking about getting the person some sort of compensation who thought they were going to have a nice shiny watch.
Mm-hmm.
They thought it was legitimate. They thought it was theirs. Whether they paid for it or not doesn't seem to be the issue. It's whether or not they believed that it was their watch, that it was a legitimately given and gifted watch.
Yeah, I just don't think whatever the damages are for them are as high as they are for somebody who paid for it.
Oh, I agree with you.
Yeah.
They're not, certainly. But if I lost grandmother's watch to a thief and the thief gave it to his son, and his son didn't live in the house, and his son thought it was, you know, a really great gift. If I can't get that watch back from that person, that just means I want more money from the thief. Look, if you can get me my watch, then it's only $1,000 for my lost time and my worry. If
and,
you can't
and wear
get the
a tear
watch,
on the watch.
Yeah, and if you can't get the watch, then it's $10,000 is what I want. So leave it to the thief to try to make that negotiation. Then the thief would have to go to his son and say, look, I didn't really, that really wasn't my watch to give you. I stole it. I'm facing arbitration now. And
there's been some confusion, yeah. Son, and I'm going to have to get that watch back.
Right. I need to get the watch back. Well, no, Dad, I like this watch. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $1,000 for it. Because at that point, if the thief knows it's going to be significantly more than like $1,000 in damages to the victim, if he can pay the person he gave that article to get it back, to give that article back to the victim, it'll be worth it, right? It would be worth it for the thief to kind of broker that make good.
Oh, you can believe they'd be doing all kinds of brokering at that point. Yeah.
So I think it's up to the thief to pay whatever restitution is necessary to get the situation as close to solved or resolved as it possibly can be. In many cases, that means that article's gone. It's been sold at a pawn shop. It's never coming back. You'll never find out, you know, to whom it has been gifted or sold.
That's true today. Whatever. I mean, it's not right. Like we're talking about a fantasy world or anything here.
Right, right. So I think on the whole spectrum, regardless of what happens to the item after it leaves the thieves' hands, it's in the thief's. It's fully the thief's responsibility to make the victim and perhaps the person who it was sold/gifted to as whole as he possibly can. So he's the go-between.
Yeah, but that's what we've been saying all along, yeah.
All right, so 800-259-9231. Hey, so I mentioned this story. We never got to it. I want to make sure we get it out there. Nudists versus swingers. You might think they're one and the same, but you wouldn't know if you haven't been paying attention to their cultures. Not to say that I have. But the tensions in the town of Cap d'Agde, A-G-D-E, Cap d'Agde, which I know I'm pronouncing that wrong. It's French.
You have to be.
Which is known as France's Naked City, thanks to its large nudist population, have risen after locals complained that the nudist quarter has been overrun by raunchy hotels and that children had been confronted with people indulging in sexual acts in public, according to The Independent. Hmm. This is from The Telegraph, the UK. The exhibitionist behavior has been blamed on the libertines, a group of swingers who have descended on the town in recent years. To make matters worse, the group has been accused of walking about in their clothes and mocking the real nudists, said the paper. tell you a little more about this here in a bit. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Apparently the nudists just aren't open-minded enough for this town. More coming up. Free Talk Live.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Boost Kid Essentials, the nutritionally complete drink with 25 essential vitamins and minerals and probiotics to help support your child's healthy growth. Visit us at kidessentials.com. Calling certain foods bad or good doesn't go very far in helping kids understand about balanced diets. Discuss the powers of foods. Carrots are good for your eyes. Fish keeps your heart strong. And how they work together to help kids grow and they'll remember it even better. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
MemoryDealers.com offers the world's largest selection of discounted optical transceivers, including SFPs, GBICs, XFPs, Zempacs, and X2s, that are 100% compatible with all major networking equipment manufacturers, including Cisco, 3Com, Foundry, Alcatel, and HP, at up to 99% off list price. Memory Dealers can also offer customized solutions for your transceiver requirements, including private labeling. Memory Dealers is your trusted source for all your networking and telecom accessory needs, in stock and ready to ship via overnight delivery. MemoryDealers.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Attention gun owners. You're into guns and many people you know are into guns. Well, someone needs to maintain, clean, and repair those guns, and it could be you. Now get a free how-to gunsmith DVD sampler from AGI, the American Gunsmithing Institute. Learn the art of professional gunsmithing as a part or full-time career. Develop a lucrative business by learning the art of gunsmithing through over 71 exclusive DVD training courses. Get started today by ordering our free DVD sampler video and catalog at AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. See how to quickly learn firearm disassembly, reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. To order your free DVD sampler and catalog, call 800-367-9792 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Ask about a bonus $10 savings coupon when you call 800-367-9792 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct. Wholesale.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. Take control. Dial toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's 1-800-259-9231, and you can join us online at freetalklive.com. Like the show? Want to help support Free Talk Live? Shop with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. You just enter Amazon through that little portal, and Free Talk Live will get a portion of the purchase price. Go to amazon.freetalklive.com. Get the stuff you're looking for at a great price, and maybe free Super Saver shipping. It's available on a whole lot of their brand new items. But you can also go used if you need to save a few extra bucks. Go through amazon.freetalklive.com and get your shopping done.
If you've ever considered taking your case to court without an attorney, jurisdictionary.com is a course for you. It's for people without a lawyer who must know what it takes to win, and for people with lawyers that want to know that want to minimize their legal fees and maximize winning by knowing what their lawyer should be doing. It works for plaintiffs or defendants. It costs less than an hour with any good attorney, and it's so easy the average eighth grader could go through the complete 4-CD course in a single weekend. If you're facing a ticket or some other kind of legal situation, like I am, you want to go use Jurisdictionary at jurisdictionary.com.
All right, 800-259-9231. The story is out of France, Cap d'Agde, which is known as France's Naked City. There's a bit of a controversy going on there, and it's between two unusual groups of people that you don't normally hear too much about in the news. The nudists, who tend to keep to themselves in places like nudist camps and such, and the swingers that really don't do very much out in the open at all, except apparently in Cap d'Agde, they are doing things out in the
open. It's a swinger revolution.
Where the swingers are offending the nudists by doing things like sex acts in public. Florence Dennis Stabe, an independent local councillor, recently told a council meeting the following. She said, when the sun shines, there's an area of Cap d'Agde which turns into the European capital of free sex. She called on the mayor to intervene before there was an explosion of libertine behavior in non-nudist areas of the town. Traditional nudists support the move. One told the paper that they had moved to the area because they wanted a natural life, but they had ended up living surrounded by wild animals.
The mayor said that he would consider the complaints, but had already done all he could to keep the two groups apart. 2 years ago, anger of the influx of swingers led to two arson attacks on hotels that hosted libertine parties. So presumably the nudists, some of the nudists decided to firebomb some swinger
hotels. Pretty serious sounding stuff.
Yeah. And there's not any more to the story than that. I just thought it was interesting that, you know, these nudists folks, they moved together to this place because they wanted to be naked and be around other people who had a similar belief system about being naked. And I guess some other folks came in figuring that maybe nudists would be a little more open-minded to things sexual. Because, well, remember, it's a common mistake for people to believe that nudity is sexy or that nudity is always sexual, and it's not. In, I would say, most cases, being naked is not sexual at all. But the swingers might have made that conclusion. They might have jumped to the conclusion that a nudist who is more open-minded about nudity might also be open-minded toward other things. I'm just speculating here on why the swingers would choose to take over Cap d'Agde in France. So the swingers move in, and they start getting a little racy with the things that they're doing, and the nudists get upset about it.
All hell breaks loose.
Hilarity
ensues.
Right, which may encourage the swingers to perhaps exhibit themselves a little more. Because if they weren't getting a reaction, would it be as likely that they would continue on? Like if somebody's giving a BJ in the street,
I think
and nobody cares... Are they going to keep upping the ante in that case? Are they going to have, you know, a group of people doing it?
I think it's not unlikely when you're dealing with a group like swingers. I mean, you know, they want to do it with everybody or whatever, and I can see if they found some place where they felt that they could do that, then that would be what would happen. You know, really the issue here is it's an issue of private property.
Tragedy of the commons.
Yeah, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if you want to have some place that's secluded, and that's where it all comes down to it for me. I don't, you know, I'm not for this whole walking around in public naked thing. I think that's pushing the boundaries that I'm not interested in, or copulating in the middle of the park or something like that. But if it's some secluded place that you own, then that's something you should be able to do.
Well, if you've got a hotel and you're having swinger parties there, then they should be left alone, right?
Yeah.
But the issue of tragedy of the commons here is certainly the critical thing, right? So if all property was private, then the private property owner would get to set rules. Well, I want to let people have sex on my property. That's fine with me. Okay. But it could still be done out in the open on that private property and would still offend people, right? So
sure.
Really the issue isn't so much tragedy of the commons as it is people's being prudes and being so offended by what other people choose to do.
Well, you're always
if you want to walk downtown naked, so effing what? If you want to kiss somebody, big deal. If you want to engage in some sort of sex act, it may be tacky, but so what?
Well, that's what you think, and I'm telling you.
Yeah, because I'm willing to allow my neighbors to do whatever it is they want to do with one another, as long as it's consensual.
I'm of the opinion that society isn't ready for what you're talking about. It's not even close to ready. I'm not ready. I don't want what you're talking about. I mean, if this kind of behavior occurred, and I was a business person in town, I am going to ostracize the people that you're talking about. They're not going to be welcome in my business.
But if you're if you're talking about a significant percentage of the population,
I don't really care. I'd leave.
Are nudists.
I'd leave. You know,
if they were nude.
Well, I think that obviously to me the nudity is a step above people copulating in the streets. But I just look. If you want to be a nudist, you need to buy your own property, set up your own nudist compound, go to the other nudist. This is working on nudist camps all over the world. It's fine there. When it starts getting into places where you're talking about public property, people walking around without the expectation of seeing this, it's just not acceptable behavior. Period. End of story.
Okay, but that's my problem here, is that people are so intolerant of other people's belief systems and what they should wear or not wear and that kind of thing. And if you want to believe it's unacceptable, that's fine. You're certainly free to think that way. And as a business owner, you would be free to say, no shirt, No pants?
You do understand.
You're not allowed.
Societal mores are going to dictate behavior no matter what system you're under. Like, it doesn't matter. That's what's going to happen. Even where it's legal.
I understand that, but I wish people would leave people alone.
In the state of New Hampshire, it's legal to walk around without your shirt on if you're a woman. However, if you walk into someone's business, immediately the whole story is going to change. It's not legal anymore. Get out.
Right. You're not telling me anything I don't know.
I'm just saying that that's it. And that's how I'd feel, too. No, it's just not acceptable.
Why?
Why is it not acceptable?
Because of prudishness. Because of the...
You can call it whatever you want to. Call it decorum. Call it whatever. I mean, the fact is, things leak out of human bodies, okay? I don't want you sitting on my chairs. I don't want you serving my food. No, yuck. Get out of here. Cover that nasty stuff up.
No, I totally understand. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a dress code for your business, but to be offended by somebody who wants to walk downtown without their clothes on, it really just it harkens back to the days of the Puritans. And that's
what it's going to do is actually drive people back to the days of the Puritans. Like you say, well, let's just have a naked revolution.
They have the naked bike ride in Portland. Meg, who's not able to join us here tonight, but she was on last Monday, has told me that in Portland they have this big event where people ride their bikes through the streets completely naked.
And a lot of people, they're so offended. People are so offended that bike riders are getting hurt, physically hurt.
By people attacking them?
Thugs and that kind of thing. People are attacking them, absolutely.
And I think that's a shame, don't
you? I agree that it's not the way to handle it, but if there isn't a system for dealing with these huge disparities in mores, then that's what you're going to have. Like, that's the reality of the situation. If you want to change the way people think, you can't change it in huge leaps. You change it in small incremental amounts. The way that women's bathing suits used to go down to their ankles, and now they're they can run around in the smallest of bathing suits.
Sure,
I don't think we're quite ready for that whole naked thing yet.
I understand what you're saying, Mark. I just think it's sad.
Fine, you can call it whatever you want.
I think it's sad that people are not able to allow their neighbors to make their own choices about how they live. And this is another example of it here, where you would think nudists, who should get it, who should be a little more open-minded, they're just as close-minded as anybody else.
That's because the swingers are ruining it for them.
Yeah. Well, that's the way they see it.
Well, they achieved a certain level of freedom wherever they were, and then the next step, the people that didn't have enough decorum to know
what you can allow others to do in places
and what you can't.
If you can't allow others to be free, then you will never be free. More coming up. Hour 3's on the way. Free Talk Live.
Do you have a product or service that you can sell to a national audience? Free Talk Live is a nationally syndicated talk show on more than 80 talk radio stations from Alaska to Florida. We've been named Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 list. That's the 100 most important radio talk shows in the nation twice. And the number one political podcast on podcastawards.com 4 out of the last 5 years. You can have access to our 80-plus stations and our large and loyal podcast audience for as little as $500 a month. Contact me, Mark, at freetalklive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.